1101C. Good morning and thanks for listening and downloading. You've queued up an audio edition of Offbeat Oregon History du jour, a daily RSS podcast feed brought to you by the Offbeat Oregon History weekly newspaper column. Each day we bring you a new story from our archives. And we're talking stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost treasure, of Shanghai sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and unsolved mysteries and just all kinds of wonderful stuff. You can get it either in the audio format, which you're listening to now, or you can get the same thing in the original text format with illustrations and photographs and things. To get these delivered regularly, direct your podcatcher to ofor.us/P for the podcast, or ofor.us/T for the text version. These podcasts are just very simple. It's just me reading you stuff. No bumper music, no audio assets. Basically, it's just designed so that if you want to listen to them in your car while you're driving to work, you can do that. If these podcasts were a movie, they would be rated PG. Like basically everything else in the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column, Empire, most people will find them suitable for family listening. So today's column was first published on January 16th, 2011. Its headline is, Oregon Backcountry is Rich in Legends of Buried Treasure. The overview. Stories of lost loot and buried booty have kept treasure hunters busy digging for gold in hidden corners of Oregon for the past 150 years. Okay, here's the story. Oregon has more than its share of high-profile stories of lost and buried treasure. Stories like the Blue Bucket Mine in northeastern Oregon and the Spanish treasures rumored to be lost near Nehalem on the coast. But there are many more as well. Rumors and legends of buried loot from stagecoach robberies, gold dust squirreled away by nervous prospectors, and even a kettle of cash stashed away for safekeeping by a paymaster who was doomed to die in silence. And who knows, one or two of these stories might even be true. Let's start with the Louse Creek stage robbery. In 1890, a group of robbers held up a stagecoach near Louse Creek in Josephine County near Grants Pass. Now, the original of this story says Douglas County, but this is probably an error because Louse Creek runs within just a few dozen miles of the Douglas County line. According to this legend, the robbers were chased down and killed in classic 1890s Oregon Goldfield style, but one of them, with his dying breath, said the loot had been stashed a few hundred yards from the crime scene, in a hole in the ground. For years, treasure seekers have scrounged around the area looking under every leaf. As far as anyone knows, they found nothing. Then, in 1933, a gold prospector named C.L. Eubanks, beating the bushes along the creek, came across a manzanita tree with some peculiar carvings on the trunk. The date 1890 was there, familiar sounding date, along with the initials MLP and LPM. Could these be the robbers, perhaps? Below that, there was a message. Eubanks could just make out the words, go to. Beyond that, the tree's healing powers in the previous 35 years had made the carving unreadable. That summer, Mr. Eubanks devoted himself to the hunt for the missing loot. But, so far as anyone knows, he never did find it. Bit of an anticlimactic story, but if you should stumble across a whole bunch of gold in the woods in Josephine County, well, you can write the ending to that one yourself. The next story that I've got for you is the Silent Paymaster of Fort Grant. Now, in the years after gold was discovered in California and southern Oregon, the town of Fort Grant sprang up south of Medford. This is more or less where Phoenix is today. The town lacked a bank, so the paymaster of one of its companies, probably the stage line, kept accounts for local miners. He'd stash their gold dust and $20 coins and other valuables in a big iron kettle, which he kept securely buried in a secret location. This worked great, until the paymaster suddenly had a stroke. Struck dumb, the paymaster motioned for a pencil and was handed one. But halfway through his attempt to draw a map, the growing damage in his brain reached the lethal stage, and he took his secret with him to the grave. Again, There was much time and effort given to scrounging around camp and thrusting steel rods into the ground to probe for the kettle. Again, so far as is known, no one has found it. The next story we've got is the inside job at Pendleton. This is another solid gold legend, which has actually enough basis in fact to have made it into court in 1880. It seems a fellow named H.P. Page, an official with the Wells Fargo, was riding to Portland on a company Concord stage that was delivering a big chunk of money. On the way, Page went into the boot of the Concord stagecoach to take a nap on the mail sacks. Or so the jury chose to believe when it acquitted him, because the prosecution tended to think he was doing something other than snoozing in there. What mattered, whatever the real story was, what mattered most was that the shipment of gold was somehow abstracted from the coach on its way to Portland from Pendleton. And remember, it didn't stop. So Page, having been acquitted, found himself marked as an untrustworthy man and left the area never to return. But some folks think he stashed the loot somewhere in Umatilla County. He probably chucked it out of the stagecoach by the roadside, retrieved it later, stashed it somewhere to retrieve after his notoriety had ebbed a bit, and then just never made it back. Well, I don't know about the never made it back part. Seems to me that if I'd gone to that much trouble to steal a bunch of gold, I would have made it back. But you never know. Maybe it's still there. Or maybe the whole thing is a Tooth Fairy class fantasy. Who knows? Okay, I've got one more for you. This is the story of the solid gold muck boot. It's actually almost certainly the least believable of the bunch. But again, who knows? Apparently, in 1857, a miner showed up at a saloon in Corvallis, of all places, and started bragging about a rich gold strike he'd hit. The story goes that after sobering up, this guy realized he'd raised his public profile a little bit more than was good for him, and that maybe he'd better stash his pile of gold someplace safe so that he would not be a walking, talking, engraved formal invitation to a mugging. So he put the gold dust in a rubber boot and squirreled it away in what is now PV Arboretum. Subsequently, the story claims, the miner disappeared, and several Corvallis citizens shortly thereafter became uncommonly wealthy. This last bit makes the story suspect. In 1857, the California gold rush was still going full steam. So much money was still pouring into Oregon from the gold fields of California and southern Oregon that a sudden increase in a neighbor's living standards would not have been unusual enough to raise such suspicions. What else is wrong with this story? Well, first of all, Corvallis isn't a mining town. It's certainly possible that somebody found some gold nearby, but he'd be far more likely to go south and strike it in Jacksonville or Virginia City, which means he'd be doing his drunken boasting there, not back home in Corvallis. And secondly, rubber boots were uncommon and valuable items in 1857, not the sort of thing a man would use to bury something in. Even if the mate to the boot was damaged, people would keep it as a spare. Still, it's a fun legend to think about, and especially if you're ever up visiting the Arboretum in Corvallis. And who knows? It may even be true. So that's it for today. You've been listening to what probably is going to end up being part one of the Oregon Backcountry is Rich in Legends of Buried Treasure article by Finn J.D. John. That would be me. First published on January 16th, 2011, and if you would like to see the art for this story, or print out a copy for your friends, look online at www.offbeatoregon.com. The articles there are very easy to look up. They're listed in order of the date they were first published, so just scroll down in the table until you get to January 2011. It'll be right there for you. That covers us until tomorrow. Hope to see you then. And once again, if you would like to subscribe, if you'd like to get these on a regular basis, direct your device to www.ofor.us/p for podcast or ofor.us/t for text. Thank you, and have a great day.